Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here. Thank you for being here today, and I'm really excited about today. We've had a good morning already. Many of you were able to be with us this morning for all our kind of all together, with the exception of our children, Sunday school time, and our guest speaker, Emmanuel Mustafa, is here. Call him Moose when you get a chance to visit with him and talk with him. Excited about him coming and sharing, and did a great job. We had a great Sunday school this morning with some good questions and just a time together. And so I'm grateful that he is here. I'm grateful that you have the opportunity to hear what the Lord has placed on his heart. And he will come in a few moments after we sing and preach the Word of God to us. And so looking forward to that in just a moment. Let me say a quick welcome to all of our guests. Thank you for being here. If you're a guest, we would love to connect with you, whether in person or online. We can do that in a couple different ways. First of all, there's a card in the pew back in front of you. If you're a guest here, you'd like to fill that out, and at the end of service, we'll take up the offering as we leave, and you'll have a chance to leave that there or leave it in the pew, whatever your wish is. Or you can go online to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new. Click that button and fill that information out, and again, it's a way for us to be able to connect with you and look forward to that. There are a lot of activities coming in front of us, and I will do my best to give you a few. I normally jot down some notes, make sure I get it right. I don't have any of that in front of me, so I'm sure I'll get something wrong, so please forgive me if I do. I'm excited about just a few opportunities that are coming up. Next week is Tech Sunday, and you've heard me talk about this as we've invited a lot of the athletic teams from Arkansas Tech, and their coaching staffs and athletes will be here, and there will be a lot of folks. I've challenged you next week as you come in, for our folks, if you would sit in the outer two sections and let our guests try to filter in as much as they can in these two sections in the middle. Really appreciate that. It's just one Sunday, okay? All right, just one Sunday. I'll let you have your seat back next week. But if you would help us with that, we'll really appreciate that. We do have hamburgers and hot dogs afterwards. You may have saw, I believe Miss Clara and Miss Sharon were sitting out in the foyer with the table for sign-up. For different opportunities to help greet, to help work in the kitchen, to help serve. We would love it. And we know that primarily we're focusing on those Tech students, but we would love it if you would stay around and be involved. And any way that you can, maybe you can plug in and help serve. I believe they'll be there after service, so you can stop by then as well and sign up for a place to serve. And we are asking, we need your help to bring chocolate chip cookies, brownies, or Rice Krispie treats. I think that's the three that we've asked to, if you can, to help bring. Those are quick kind of grab and go as they make their plate. So a lot of things happening next weekend, next Sunday, Tech Sunday. Hope that you'll make plans to be here. It'll be our regular scheduled morning. We're just having a lot of guests come in via Arkansas Tech Athletics, all right? There are several other activities that are taking place following that. That week, a lot of different activities with college students. The 17th, our Wednesday night kids activities are kicking back off, and so that's 1 week from this Wednesday, so we're really looking forward to that. The following week, our collegiate worship service will start. I believe that's the 24th, if I'm right, and we will start our collegiate worship service then, and so anyway, there's a lot of different activities coming up. There is a Young at Heart event coming up, so watch your email for that. And so, anyway, grateful for you. I know that's a lot of announcements this morning, but again, Moose will come in a few moments after we sing, and he will preach the word to us, and I'm excited about the opportunity we have to hear him. And so, let me lead us in a word of prayer, and then we will gather together. We will worship the Lord through song. Jesus, you're good and gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for your love and affection. We thank you for how you care for us. And God in heaven, I pray this morning that, Lord, you would meet us right here. I pray that the Spirit of God would fall on this place, God, that you would be glorified. Lord Jesus, we just love and praise and adore you. We thank you for all things. And Lord, I just pray and ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Just stand as we sing.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son or daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That you would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Beneath that flood, whose own fount I know that makes me white as snow. No other power can save. Only in Jesus' name. Ever since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing will supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And shall be till I makes me white as snow. No other power can save. Only in Jesus' name. No other fount I know that makes me white as white as snow. No other power can save. Only in Jesus' name.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty
the splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, tries to hide. It trembles at his voice. It trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Good morning once again. It's always good to get a double dip. But one thing I learned very recently as I begin to speak in the United States is that blessed are those who make it short, they shall call you back. So that is the latest beatitude. Thank you for allowing me to come. And we've already had a blessed time, and I enjoyed being with you this morning at Sunday school, our interaction, and whatever we did. So thank you. And those of you who have not met me, my name is Emmanuel Kwabena Mustafa. You can call me Moose. And I work as a missionary in Africa. My organization is called Global Mission Resource Center. And our goal is to plant at least 2,000 churches in the next 2 years. We've already done over 2,000 across West Africa in the last 17 years. And our goal is God helping us. Basically, what we do is we plant new churches, we train leaders, we support these churches that we are planting to grow by providing infrastructure and assistance into those churches and leadership that we have. And one of the things we do also is that every community that we go, there is a question that we ask. If Jesus is in this community, what will he do to be able to improve the lives of the people? And one of the things we've done is to start schools, supporting people medically, and we bring doctors from the United States here to go and do free medical surgeries to these people and provide for some of the needs. So your pastor was with us a few weeks ago, and today I'm here. So thank you so much for this partnership. And I'm looking forward, like I said, now we have Second Baptist Church, Russellville, in Pandai area. So today I'm speaking in the West Campus, and then the East Campus are also meeting. So we need to hear from what's happening in the East Campus. Thank you. This morning I have a reflection that we need to quickly do together to think. So if you care, turn with your Bible to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6, and let's look at the verses from 1 through 8. The book of Isaiah is in the Old Testament, and we're looking at chapter number 6. And I read. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraph, each one with 6 wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraph flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he has taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins purged." Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." Here am I, send me. You know, there is a saying that familiarity breeds contempt. When you do something for so much time, you realize that you lose the, sometimes you lose the essence and the deeper meaning of what you are doing because you've done it so many times that you are very, very familiar with it and you don't think through before doing it. And that is why this morning, I just want us to take some few moments together and think about turning our religious life into relationship. Turning our religious life into relationship. Now, fortunately, you know, I crossed over from one religion before I became a Christian. And most people have asked me, what is the difference and why did I become a Christian? And I have a simple answer. I tell them, I don't just need religious life. I want relationship. Folks, I want to establish the fact here today that Christianity is not religion. Whether you agree with me or disagree with me, wherever you are listening to me from, whether in this auditorium, online, wherever, I want you to understand that Christianity is not religion, but it's a relationship. You know, God the Father sent the God the Son into the world to die and resurrect it, bring us life and give birth to us. So he calls us sons and daughters. To them that believe in his name, he gave them power to become children. And now the Spirit inside us help us to cry, Abba, Father. Who has this? Every religion beside Christianity has what do we call rituals. You know, it's a process and rituals that you call. But by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, we are able to commune with God, know his mind through scripture, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we know what he wants. So listen to this. Here is what George Watt said, and I love it. He said, the greatest knowledge is to know the will of God. That is the absolute knowledge. So the greatest knowledge is to know the will of God. The greatest discovery is to find the will of God. So if you know, you have a great knowledge. If you discover, you have made a great discovery. And the greatest achievement is to do the will of God. So if you know, you are well knowledgeable. If you find it, you have made a discovery. And if you do it, you have an achievement. Come on! So, if we are able to find this, that is what we need. So when we come as a people of God to worship, I like it when William Temple put it this way. He said, worship is the submission of all of ourselves to the nature of God. It is the quickening of our conscience by the holiness, nourishment of mind by his truth, purifying our imagination by his beauty, open our heart to his love, and submission of our will to his purpose. And all this gathered up in adoration is the greatest of human expression of worship. So, when we come to worship him, we come to quicken our conscience by his holiness. When we come to worship him, we pad our imagination by the beauty of God. And we feed our mind with the truth of God. And you see, when we purge our imagination, when we quicken our conscience, we purge our imagination and feed our mind to the truth of God, we open our heart to the love of God and we devote ourselves to his will. Then worship happens. It's not just a religious rite, but it's real in-depth communication with this God, that we are communing with him to understand him and be able to relate with him like Father, daughter. You see, when we came into this worship and we are worshiping and singing song, I realized that Christ lifted his son and put him on his shoulder. I mean, not every child can get there. Why? Because there is a relationship. So for me, the joy of being a Christian is that I go to God like a father, embracing me. It is not like a computer that you program it and it gives you results. It's dynamic. It's not static. We move with him with the power of the Holy Spirit. So if we... You know, for sometimes some of you have had that religion for over 200 years. You've been in the faith. So when you are coming to church Sunday morning, you know everything before you come. Would there be in the pastor to tweet it a little bit? You've been in trouble. I heard him pleading with you that leave this seat for just 1 week, you know. You come to church so much that automatically nobody even tells you, but you walk to the seat that you sit on it all the time. But you see, in relationship, it's dynamic. We hear him. I pray that this morning, like Isaiah, we find a new meaning. Here is a prophet, and sometimes when I study this book, I like it, but time will not permit me to tell you a lot. You know, the book of Isaiah is like the whole Bible. It depends on who's theologian, who is speaking. People divide the book into two. Some divide it into three. But you see, whoever divides the book, the first 39 chapters are to one side, and it's from the 40 to the 66 that they split it into two, depending on who is speaking. But wherever you are coming from, we are looking at the life of this prophet, that he has an encounter that moved him from just a religious life into a relationship with God. Now here in the chapter we saw, verse number 1, he said, the day that King Uzziah died. Now, everybody has interpretation, but this is where I go. It's a significant date. You know, back home, one of the confusion of my life is my date of birth. You know, we don't have a good system like you may think you have here. I mean, you know, some of you, your name is given to you before you are even born. But for us, they give birth to us. 1 week or 2 weeks later, they find a name for us. So my date of birth was very confusing, and my mom had 102 years before she died, and she was not schooled. So my date of birth was very confusing. So anytime I asked my mom, when were you born? The best way to be able to help me with event, the day something happened. I remember always when I talked to my mom, so what year was I born? I said, the year Queen Elizabeth came to Ghana. And that one, I found out it was 1960. So that made it quick. So in this passage, I will not add any meaning and detail to it, but Isaiah is saying that there was a day, the day King Uzziah died. That is the date. He's been going to the temple to pray all the time. He goes in for his religious rituals. But this day, something happened. I love it. One of the things that makes me so excited to be a Christian is that we have a God who decides to disclose himself, reveal himself to us. Because he's self-revealing God who decided to come into relationship with us and don't keep himself disclosed, but he unveiled himself for us to know who we are dealing with. All the other gods keep themselves secret. And you keep searching for. But here we are. Isaiah walked into the temple that day. And what did he see? He said, I saw the Lord. Sitting on his throne. My goodness. But maybe that was not the first time he went into the temple. In fact, according to, if we are looking at the chapters 1 to 5, he was even rebuking of sin and talking so hard, but he was maybe doing it as his religious duty. But now, this day, he saw the king. And how did he see him? Seated on his throne. Ah, you see, when God revealed himself to Isaiah, he showed him the transcendency of him. He is above every situation. No king, no one, no power can be equal to the God we are serving. So in every situation, I know God that I'm serving is above, beyond every situation. He is in charge. You know, we are just like you. Every year, 4 years, we change government. And sometimes the one who comes to power, you don't like him. But vote has taken him. And people will be crying and complaining. I say, hey, come on, shut up. I have a God who is above that person. And if he doesn't permit, that person will not be there. So we will manage through that. We have a transcendent God who knows us. So here, King Uzziah is dead. And Isaiah goes in there. But there is a king who is greater than every situation. May the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord reveal himself to us. I remember when I came into this country, just after 9/11. We have a transcendent God. COVID came, we have a transcendent God. We're still. May the Lord give us wisdom. Isaiah saw the transcendency of God. But the another part I like is that it's not just a transcendent God, but his robe is filled the temple. Now he's transcendent, but he's immanent. Now you see, this transcendent God is also present. He's not far and abstract. We are not talking about God who lives in tree. We are not talking about God who lives in stones. We are talking about the creator of the universe who comes into his creation and move around to show his identity to what he has created and be in relationship with us. So a transcendent God, but yet immanent. God is with us. I love the song when you were singing the Emmanuel's blood. Is that right? It cleans every stain. So when we mess up, he did not leave us. He chased us to cleanse us. And that's why Christianity is very important. He does not throw us. Unlike some religion that he would judge us with our sins. Here he embraced us with the grace, filled us with this, and say, hey, come. And we all mess up. I mess up. One time I told people that until 9th December 1991, if you knew me, you wouldn't have liked me. You wouldn't let me even walk into this door. But now he cleanses me, make me whole. Here am I. You call me your preacher. My dad makes a joke. He said, every preacher is a revivalist when he traveled 10 miles away from his town. But that is the joy of cleansing. So the transcendent God the Isaiah saw is also immanent. And then he's a holy God. I mean, I like when he talks about holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Now, that's emphasized some holiness there. Now, are you not happy that a holy God whose eyes cannot behold sin, but yet makes a provision for the sinner to come closer? Because that blood, the beauty of it is that it takes every stain. And that is why he tells us in 1 Peter that, be ye holy because I'm holy. We imitate him in the holiness by empowering us to walk. I mean, you know, sanctification is a process I like. We are not there, but we are managing. We are not there, but we are what? Managing. By the help he entrusted unto us to be able to move on. So if our religious life turn into relationship, we know the God we are serving. He's a transcendent God. He's an immanent God, present in our life. You know, most religion teach God is far from. You know, the most biggest problem with Islam is that they believe that he is transcendent. But it's hard for them, for this holy God, to be like us. That is why they cannot, you know, for saying that Jesus is a son of God, you mess up completely. Because how can a holy God have affair with a woman to give birth to a son? That is the toughest thing in their mind. I don't blame them, because God is transcendent, but yet he's present. He is with us and the Holy God. But this will happen when you get into a relationship with him. He unveiled himself. And check with me in scripture, when he met Noah, he revealed himself to him. When he met Abraham, he revealed himself to him. When he met Moses, he did that. And every relationship that he go, he does not disclose himself, but make himself available. Thank God, through Jesus Christ and the scripture in our hands, what we need to know, we know. But it comes when we constantly deepen the relationship. Until I came here, you might have heard my name, but you didn't know I like fried chicken. You know, I was driving this morning to my hotel. I said, oh, Cracker Barrel is here. I found Cracker Barrel. And do you know what I like in Cracker Barrel? Breakfast, even in the night. How do you know that? Unless I come and tell you. And many people have asked me, what is my favorite meal in the U.S.? I say, lasagna. You see, the more we develop this relationship and we go in daily, as times as you come and I come, you get to know one another better. So God invites us into this relationship to understand him. We don't arrive, but it's continuously going. Some of you have married 40, 60 years, but still you are learning your spouse. You get some shocks. Is that not true? You get up and say, oh. May the Lord help us. May we not find ourselves stagnant, but keep understanding that relationship keeps going and it's dynamic. So Isaiah, when his religious life turned into relationship, it's not just the God he's serving he saw, but he also saw himself. You see, when you have an encounter with God, the joy in it is that you see the holiness and the power of God and who he is, the transcendency and how he's been worshipped by the seraph. By the way, I was just checking. I said, this God is same, because when the Old Testament people saw him, it's the same. When John saw him in the New Testament, it's the same. Unchangeable God. And he's still, if he will open our eyes today to see him, he's still the same. But the holiness of God comes into you, and what you see is yourself. So Isaiah, from the verse number 5 going, realized that he's, when he came into that relationship and God revealed himself to him, he cannot help it, but he saw himself. Do you know the first thing he said? Woe is me. I mean, guys, anytime you have a full encounter with God and found him, you can't help him, but you see yourself. See, I'm done. I'm not going to live again. I'm finished. Woe is me. I don't deserve to be in this presence of this God. Sin has soaked my life. Folks, this morning, if you are here and listening to me, whether you are in this auditorium or wherever you are listening on Facebook, whatever, if you come to the point to realize that I need help, that is when the help begins. He brings us to realization and cry. And then when Isaiah shouted, what happened? And I love that part of scripture. Time will not permit me. Because remember, we are going to... You see, always the Baptists, when they are hiring a preacher, they tell him that make sure we get to the restaurant before the Methodist. I don't know if it's the same in Arkansas, because they race one another in the restaurant. And I will get you there before the Methodists come. Okay. But here Isaiah saw himself and realized that he needed a help. So when he said, woe is me, what happened? There was an angel, the seraph, went into the altar and picked a tongues of fire, came and touched his lips. Come on, what a great provision. It was a metaphor of cleansing. He said, this has touched your lips. And what happened? Your sins are forgiven and your guilt are gone. Hey, folks, this is my favorite part of scripture. Do you know why? Do you know why? Take a break. Think about it. Let's reason through this. Two things. The sins are what? Forgiven. And your guilt have been taken away. Now, you know, when sin is forgiven, you can carry the guilt. And it weighs you down. Sometimes when you are praying, you know God has forgiven you, but the guilt weighs you so down, you become helpless. You cannot be moved. But here, the sins are forgiven. The guilt is gone. Now, until, you see, when he said, you know the truth and the truth will set you free, there are people who have received the forgiveness of Christ, but they are yet still living in the guilt of the past. And they have been entangled and been slaved by the past. But look at it. At the Day of Atonement, how many goats were killed? Two. One is being slaughtered, okay, on the altar for your sins. And then the scarlet will be put on the other goat, is that right? And release him in the desert. So the sins are forgiven and the guilt are taken. So for me, hey, if I have killed people, if I've been a drug addict, if I chased women, all these things I went through until the day I met Christ. But you know what? The guilt of that is taken. It sets me free. And I can jump and say, hallelujah, I'm breaking the chains and I'm all right. I can live my life. Amen. That is the joy of Christianity. And there is a song saying, my sins are gone far away. Jesus has saved me and set me free. Folks, I don't know why we bothered ourselves with our past. Yeah, the past is there. But always I tell people that if Satan points me to my past, I show him my present and future. Amen. I had a past, but it has been dealt with. So Isaiah in the passage realized that I have something to carry. But God said, I've taken it away. When your religious life turns into relationship, you know yourself. that you've been forgiven and the guilt is gone. Not Isaiah didn't just see himself, but even the community he lives in said, this is my situation, but I find myself in a pluralized environment. Folks, if our religious life turns into relationship, we know the God we serve, we know ourselves, and we know the community we live in and the response we need to give. May the Lord help us that this journey of our religious life will make us understand God. Now let me see, this is my favorite part. As a missionary, as somebody that has been sent to you this very morning, Sunday, as we come to a close and we draw the curtains to the end of this sermon, remember that if your religious life turns into relationship, what do? You know the nature of God you are serving, you see yourself and the community you live in, and then you can hear the God. Community is established. You know, I mean, take a break and think with me here. Is this man not a prophet who claimed he has been called by God and started even rebuking the people of Israel? But you see, when the relationship is established and it's not a religious life, you know the voice of God you are serving. So he said, now I heard the Lord clearly. You can identify with him. Check with me, no matter how many people are there when your spouse speaks, you know the voice. Is that not true? I mean, thousands of voices, but you can identify that. And that's why Jesus said, my sheep knows my voice. Why? Because we are acquainted with him, and when he speaks, he understands him. You know, sometimes we get into dilemma whether God is speaking or something is speaking. Unless we have established a relationship with him, then we know exactly how God speaks to us. So Isaiah comes to this point and said, I heard the voice of the Lord. Will you hear the voice today? And what did he say? And that's what I conclude always telling people that God desires. He said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Sending is his major problem. I think he's still, if we, you and I can climb the Jacob's ladder and go to heaven and the first billboard, we will see whom shall I send, who will go for us. 7,000 tribes. Many are dying. The 7 billion people on the surface of this planet need to hear this gospel and respond to it. He is a sending God who is a missionary, sending, chasing Adam and Hawa in the garden, Jesus being sent, the Holy Spirit being sent, the church being sent, and today, Isaiah, with me and you all, the question is, whom shall I send, and who will go? Have you heard the voice? In what way, in what capacity that you need to serve? I pray that as we gathered ourselves at the end of this worship, and because I'm rushing to go and get some chicken, there's a clear communication here. But do you know the answer? Isaiah said, here am I, sent me. Take a break. When things are very clear, your response is positive. Now the prophet said, here am I, sent me. Availability. When you understand him, when you hear him very well, you avail yourself to the cause of him. I pray that as I speak with you and visiting you for the first time here, you will say, here am I. Why? Because when religious turn into relationship, you see the nature of God. yourself is revealed to you, and God's will is revealing to you. What will be your response today? We can only say yes to God and make ourselves available to God and His call to missions when He encountered the triune God and experienced His love that brings us into a relationship with Him and to know His heartbeat. Then we can say with Isaiah, "Here am I, send me."
Amen. I appreciate Moose coming and just laying and preaching the word to us. And we want to have a time of response. And many of you heard him during the Sunday school hour, but some of you are not able to. And he laid out that he said there are two types of folks in the church, ones who go and ones who send. And we need both. And so as you think about the Lord maybe asking you, who will go? The response is always yes to the Lord asking. But in what capacity? And how is that that God wants you to respond? Some of you, you may need to respond for salvation. You've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. You've never been set free and forgiven from your sins and set free from the guilt. And so I want to challenge you. It may be that you need to repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Jesus today. Many of you have. And maybe you just need to, anew and afresh, just think about, God, what is it that you're saying to me this morning? How is it you want me to respond? Because in relationship, God speaks. And so we're going to have a time of response. So if you would, if you just bow your head and close your eyes, and just right where you're at, and it may be this morning you need to repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Jesus. I want to encourage you to do that this morning, just right where you're at. Call out to the Lord. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to save you from your sins, to place your faith and trust in Him, asking Him to be boss and master of your life. You may want to pray something like this. Listen, words of a prayer have never saved anybody. It's the attitude of your heart. The Bible says, though, whoever will call upon me shall be saved. You may pray something like this. Say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll be what you want me to be. Save me now, Lord Jesus." Here in just a moment, I'm going to pray, and this altar is going to be open. You can come and pray here. You're welcome to pray right where you're at. But if you prayed that just a moment ago, I want to invite you to come. Say, "Hey, Pastor, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me and be the boss of my life today. I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you." For others of you, you know that you're saved, and you need to respond to Him today. Let me pray. God in heaven, I thank you for this word. God, I thank you for the truth of your word. And God, I pray that even now we would consider, God, today, anew and afresh, what it is to follow you, Jesus. God, what it is you're calling us to. Give us clarity and wisdom. God, I believe you're calling some to that we be more faithful in our giving, that we may send more. And it may be some that you're calling to go on the next mission trip, the next missions opportunity. God, we know that you've commanded us to be faithful right here where we are. So God, maybe challenging others to be faithful in their witness and the proclamation of the gospel. And God, it may be this morning that you're calling some into vocational ministry. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us to respond and be obedient to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. You remain in attitude of prayer. This front is open to you. If you want to come and pray, you're welcome. You want somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. However God spoke to you this morning, you be obedient to Him, and you may come now. Blessed today by Moose coming and speaking, say amen.
Amen.
If you heard every word perfectly and clearly and understood, say amen. Amen. I appreciate your honesty. So I'm grateful that Moose came and is here. And he is here stateside for a few more days. I believe next week he is returning home to Ghana. And so be praying for him, be praying for the ministry. I told you a few weeks ago that I believe the Lord would have us to return to Ghana, and so we will begin working to plan a trip, and so you need to be praying now. Maybe today is the Lord affirming in your heart to go with us next year and to check on our East Campus. And then just go and continue to be a part of the work and the ministry. I do want to report to you, I'm excited, we've kind of last minute challenged you to give. We were able to, you remember we were able to plant 8 churches there in Ghana on our trip, and so I'd visited with Moose. There's some important items that really help to foster growth and ministry there in these churches, one of those items being drums, and so challenge you to give, and I'm excited this morning that we will get to give to Moose this morning to provide drums in every one of those new church plants, and so thank you for giving. Praise the Lord for that, and I'm excited about that and grateful that you've given in that way, and so looking forward to that and continuing to hear reports of that. So, hey, as we leave today, you're going to have an opportunity to continue to give. As you give your regular tithes and offerings, we support mission work, and so grateful and thank you for that. And so I just want you to give unto the Lord as he has blessed us, and the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And so give out of an abundance of what God has given us. And so pray that you'll do that again. Thank you for our guests that were here. Welcome. Appreciate you joining with us today. Be praying this week. Continue praying for Moose and the work that's happening there. Be praying this week as we get ready for next weekend and Tech Sunday. And be watching your email. We'll send some information out, some things to prepare for. Don't forget, some of our ladies will be at the table there in the foyer. Able, if you want to go and sign up and volunteer to help us next week, we'll really, really appreciate that. And so let's stand together, and I will lead us in a word of prayer, and we will be dismissed. Lord Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. And God, I pray this morning and thank you for sending your man this morning to proclaim the word of God with clarity and boldness. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bear fruit as a result of the ministry today that would glorify you, Lord Jesus, and make an impact for the sake of the kingdom. And Lord, bless these tithes and offerings as we give. Pray that we would give out of abundance of what you've first given us. And Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Water.